Yes. Welcome back to the last hour of The Grapevine. I'm your host, Manon Sabir, on the award-winning The Truth 101.7 FM radio. Don't forget to tune in to Bailey Coleman and the legendary Homer Blow in the morning, Truth in the Morning, our Sherwin Hughes show, and Lunch Break with Ray and Shannon, me, yours truly, on the Grapevine, Pick Some Grapes, and Tap In with Jazz after me. You got a whole lineup. All you got to do is just keep the channel there, and you can tap in with everybody from morning to night. And we good. We good. Black Talk Radio. That's what we about. I hope you guys are going to the Black Arts Fest this weekend with, and we're featuring the Lattimore Brothers. We have Dave Hollister, art, music, crafts, food, all of that. All of it. Stay in the know. Once you get there, you might want to stay there. Bring some people with you, too, at the Summerfest grounds, August 1st, at the Summerfest grounds, August 1st, Black Arts Fest, MKE. Get there. If you new to Milwaukee, you don't know about our festival language, you might want to get in tune with us, because it's a whole culture here. It's a whole culture. Our festivals, whole culture. I brag about our festivals. It's a lot of places outside of Chicago and other places in the Midwest, but outside of basically the Midwest that don't hold festivals like we do. We do fest really, really well. So show up to the Black Arts Fest this Saturday, August 1st. Bring your family. So Milwaukee, I got something to really, really tell you, and this is really big. $5.5 billion worth of big. So we're going to talk about our bodies. We're going to talk about power and who controls it. But this is a new arena. This hour is about a company that had the power to warn black women. Listen to this. Had the power to warn black women about what's in their own bathroom cabinet. And they chose silence. Hey, Zach, we got that queued up. It's about this company. Y'all might know them. They're called Johnson & Johnson. Johnson & Johnson.
Johnson & Johnson will pay $5.5 billion to resolve tens of thousands of lawsuits alleging its baby powder and talc products cause ovarian cancer. The landmark settlement covers 69,000 cases in a decade-long court battle that has marred the company name. Johnson & Johnson still says the claims were meritless, but that they were willing to settle just to get the closure. Johnson & Johnson will pay $5.5 billion to resolve tens of...
Woo! Y'all need to find out how do we get a part of that? I need to understand where how can we get a part of that? And they said for decades, ovarian cancer. Let's look up ovarian cancer. Ovarian cancer rates in Milwaukee. Yes. Oh, they said it's 11 new cases per 100,000 in Milwaukee County. There's 11.4 new cases per 100,000 women per year. So average of new cases, about 62 women diagnosed each year. I got a lot of questions in relationship to this, because this is, you're talking about an ovary. Like, you're not talking about, like, I mean, all cancer is devastating. But an ovary, your ability is taken away. Your ability is taken away with a powder from the moment you put it on your child. This is really, really interesting. For decades, Johnson & Johnson, their talc baby powder, it's been linked to ovarian cancer and mesothelioma. So 2018, a jury awarded Johnson & Johnson to pay $4.6 billion to 22 women. 22 women. The Missouri Supreme Court upheld it. The wins keep coming. LA jury, $40 million. 2025. Philadelphia jury, $250,000 this past January. Johnson & Johnson had to pull the baby powder off the shelves. They had to pull the baby powder off the shelves. Like, people in the chat, when you were younger, did you use baby powder on your children? Did you use baby powder on your children? Especially the young girls? Like, I remember even people who were like, even I was in high school and people were bringing baby powder to, people were bringing baby powder to school because, you know, they didn't want to stink. So after gym class, they'll put baby powder on their body. Like, but this is not something to play with. If you guys, and this is something to weigh in for you all, for everybody else who has used baby powder on their children, please look this up, because there has to be a way for you to actually enjoin into whatever these proceedings are. It has to be a way. Ovarian cancer. And I think the next segment we're going to talk about the ingredients and how that came to be. How that came to be. What is actually in this particular talc and powder that would cause somebody ovarian cancer? Let alone, we can even talk about the amount of products that are on shelves right now, i.e. toothbrushes. The bristles from toothbrushes, by an organic person's perspective, have what? You name it. Microplastics. We're going to look up, what are microplastics? I'm going to get an official definition. What are microplastics? Watch this. What are microplastics? Microplastics are tiny pieces of plastic less than 5 centimeters, about the size of a seed or smaller. Many are small that you cannot see them with the naked eye. What do microplastics do to your body? What do microplastics do to your body? I feel like this is a research channel. We need to know. It may trigger inflammation. Microplastics may trigger inflammation. And I'm just saying, I'm pushing the bar. Because it's not just the talc and the baby powder. We're talking about products that you use every day that are harmful to your body. Products that you use every day. And every day, it's funny because they push not just baby powder, but they push us drinking water out of what? Plastic bottles. Out of plastic bottles. So your immune system naturally, if you can recognize plastic particles as foreign objects, And it can lead to chronic inflammation, tissue irritation. So, for example, it can lead to you having some type of issue with your muscle tissues, oxidative stress. Like, there are this microplastics can lead to a lot. So whatever we are ingesting from our retailers, because it's marketed right, doesn't mean it's good for your body. It's like you can put, it's like putting, this is going to sound wild. It's like wrapping a cigarette with a piece of lettuce. Well, maybe not today's lettuce, but last year's lettuce. Wrapping a cigarette with lettuce. Just because you wrapped it in lettuce and it looks good and it looks healthy, that don't mean that it's healthy. Just because you wrap water with just because you got water in a plastic bottle and they're telling you to drink it, doesn't mean that it's healthy. Just because you got baby powder and it smells good, doesn't mean that it's healthy. Doesn't mean that at all. We are living in a day and age in which, listen, we're living in a day and age in which deception is reality. Thank God for my parents. Deception is reality. We're living in that day and age. Hey, y'all, we're going to continue to talk about this because we're talking about power outages. And we got to talk about this. We need to talk about this. I'm going to go down the rabbit hole. Might as well. We'll be back in three.
Yeah. Sending this one out to my man Killer B. No doubt, indeed. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
There's a war going on outside. No man is safe.
The truth. The truth. Welcome back to the truth. We telling the truth today. American Family Insurance is a proud sponsor of the truth for almost 100 years. They've been committed to helping families protect what matters most, your home, your vehicle, and the dreams you're building every single day. If you're part of the truth audience, you already know you work hard for yours. That's why having the right protection in place matters. American Family helps you stay ready for whatever life brings so you can focus on moving forward, insure carefully, dream fearlessly with American Family Insurance. Get a quote or find an agent at amfam.com. Yes, I'm going to go to the chat. Hey, y'all. Jasmine West said, hey, y'all, I see the effects of the flood, especially black homeowners. I feel that. LaRon Taylor said, Wisconsin had an earthquake and Miss Sandra is the only one who knows about it. Probably. And according to Google, our last earthquake was 2024. Sometimes you can't trust Google. You know, it probably was more than that. Sir Chance, oh, wow, that's crazy, but accurate, pertinent to the Johnson & Johnson baby powder. A lot of folks got paid. And, well, all is not over yet. The baby oil is also sus. Look what happened to Diddy. Lawsuits, man, he went wild on that one, though. Man, went wild on that. You went wild on that, so Sir Chance. You went wild. Hey, y'all, if you used baby powder, and according to Sir Chance, if you use baby oil, then let us know. Let us know. I don't know what's in the baby oil. I think they still sell it. I think it's different types of baby oil out there. I don't know. Me and my daughter, we use coconut oil. So, you know, there's that. 833-212-1017. If you use baby powder, if you use baby oil, let us know. 833-212-1017. I want to hear from you. I want to know. So let's find out what was in that baby powder that Johnson & Johnson got sued for. Y'all want to know? I want to know. Because it's probably still in our bodies. Talc, natural occurring mineral that's often found in the earth near asbestos. Crickets. If talc is not carefully sourced and tested, asbestos fibers can contaminate it. Asbestos is a known human carcinogen that can lead to lung cancer and ovarian cancer and mesothelioma. So there you have it. There you have it. The talc particles themselves move into the pelvis and they remain there for years. For years. For years. It's crazy. And these people, we're going to get into why Johnson & Johnson was sued. I think there's more to the story. So even if asbestos is not present, researchers had proposed that there was long-term application of talcum powder to the genitalia area that could allow the particles to travel through the reproductive tract. Y'all heard that? So many people. They shouldn't even be in business. I think they filed for bankruptcy so many times. Like every time they got sued, they filed for bankruptcy. But they should not be in business at all. They should be shut down. And that's criminal. Because you're taking away, in some cases, you're taking away people's right to live. You're taking away their quality of life. You're taking away their ability to have children. You're taking away generations and legacy. You're taking it away. You're taking it away. They said some studies found a small association between genital talc and ovarian cancer. Yep. And why were they sued? Here we go. The talc contained asbestos. I cannot believe this. Oh my gosh. The talc contained asbestos. And the company failed to warn consumers. I'm going to say this again. The company failed to warn consumers, y'all. This is not just, it ain't just a lawsuit. I'm telling you, this is criminal. They knew about this. They knew it had asbestos. As like, you know how many people used baby powder? Bruh. Is Johnson & Johnson still in business? Let's check. Johnson & Johnson. Y'all still in business? Y'all still in business? Johnson & Johnson. Watch. I bet you they are. What they sell? Johnson & Johnson. Oh, you know what? Band-Aids. Yep. Pharmaceutical company. Johnson & Johnson. They are still in business. They are still in business. Look, man. It's a nice little website, too. Johnson & Johnson still in business. Ain't said nothing about mesothelioma. Ain't said nothing about ovarian health, the ovarian cancer. Ain't said nothing about sorry. You know, nothing. Absolutely nothing. Nothing. The company agreed to a multi-billion dollar settlement to resolve tens of thousands of ovarian cancer claims. Ovarian cancer, y'all, without admitting that its products cause cancer. It's not funny, but what? Like, my little six-year-old is like, my six-year-old will understand this one. Like, but she would be like, what? What, daddy? What? Ovarian cancer claims thousands, like, they agreed to the settlement without admitting that its products caused cancer, but it was proven that that its products had asbestos and caused cancer. They might as well just put OJ on trial, on a civil trial. I mean, yeah, okay. The glove didn't fit. Got it. But he got sued and lost. I'm pretty sure he lost in civil court. And I'm not saying OJ. I'm not going down that rabbit hole if he did it or not did it. Didn't do it. But, Johnson & Johnson, OJ. It's crazy. Like, how are you sued for billions and billions of dollars? You file for bankruptcy a number of times, and you can't even admit that your products cause cancer, ovarian cancer. That is foul. You've just destroyed, and that was 22 women that were awarded that, and I'm pretty sure they probably took their time. They filed bankruptcy. They probably got a couple dollars, settled for much, much less. This is what I'm talking about. I wonder, like, in our Black community, like, I already know. I know that it was a lot of mamas using baby powder. A lot. A lot of mamas using baby powder back in the day. Oh, just put the baby powder on, like, and they said the first place that this baby powder, the asbestos attacked, was the baby's pelvis, and it stayed in the baby's, in the child's body for years. So we're not even talking about, just imagine, we're not even talking about the asbestos and it just causing ovarian cancer, mesothelioma, and, you know, some other stuff, right? But we're talking about is what, that's what we do know. What don't we know? There's probably other things that we don't know. There's probably plenty of other stuff that we don't know about this, what it causes. I mean, autism, probably, you name it. Yes, LaRon Taylor said, I use more AfroSheen than any human was supposed to. I think that is my problem. Probably. You know, we don't even know what's in AfroSheen. Like, do people really read the ingredients? Do people really read the ingredients on anything? Do you look up the ingredients on the things that you use and put on your body? I want to know. I really want to know. Because if you don't, just think about what I said about microplastics. Microplastics, they don't disappear. They break apart, and they break apart again, and they break apart again, and they break apart again. And then they go into the blood, the lungs, placenta, breast milk, your testicles, brain tissue. If plastic can get in the body, shouldn't we at least ask for what happens after 50 years? Shouldn't we be asking these questions? Man, don't get me started on science. Hey, y'all, we'll be right back. You're on The Grapevine. We'll be back in 3. Welcome back to The Grapevine. We're about to pick some more grapes and get ready. 101 95.7 The True Family Fest is back. Join us Saturday, August 22nd from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Riverside University High School for free back-to-school resources, live entertainment, family activities, and community fun. Vendors and sponsors can reserve a spot by visiting truefamilyfest.com or sierra.brown, that's C-I-E-R-R-A.brown at milwaukeeblackmedia.com. This is proudly sponsored by Educators Credit Union, Family Insurance, American Family Insurance, Milwaukee Public Schools, Artists Working in Education, and Ascension. We're going to get right to this because we ain't got, you know, we run out of time, but we got Jazz tapping with Jazz in the building.
What's the word?
Chilling. So we are going down this rabbit hole of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we were just talking about the Johnson & Johnson $5.5 billion lawsuit.
Yep.
And you have a unique journey in relationship to cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you popped in. You're popping in because I think this type of conversation has to go further than being unheard. It has
exactly.
to be heard in multiple layers and on multiple levels.
Exactly.
What tell us about your journey in relationship to cancer. And then, you know, I know we were just talking about cancer, but yeah, go ahead.
So in 2017, my aunt was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and passed away 3 weeks after she was diagnosed. Mm. And this was the first death that we had experienced, my generation and my family. A year later, I was diagnosed with breast cancer at the age of 30. Mm. When I was diagnosed, I'm not going to say accident because nothing is accidental.
Yeah.
But I went for my regular yearly OBGYN checkup mm-hmm. and he felt lumps in my left breast. When I went to get the ultrasound, mm-hmm. it showed cancer in my right breast. So had I not, call to action, ladies, make sure that you stay going to the doctor, right? Not just for your regular checkups, but don't believe that, you have to wait until you're 42 to get a mammogram.
Right.
If you have family members who have had cancer and it's a gene, then you need to go and get that taken care of prior to that.
Right.
So we found all of that out. At the same time I was diagnosed, my cousin Jaquisha was diagnosed mm-hmm. with breast cancer as well. She was 2 years older than me. Rest in peace to Jaquisha. But what ended up happening is I was able to push through.
She passed away.
She passed away because it spread into her brain.
Oh.
So when you go through cancer, they're going to automatically introduce radiation, chemotherapy, tamoxifen, specifically for breast cancer. I declined all three. Mm-hmm. I did not do radiation. I did not do chemotherapy. And I refused to take tamoxifen.
Right.
For my own personal beliefs.
Right.
And granted, I was in stage one, so it may vary depending on what stage you're in.
Yeah.
Like some people may have to, like my sister Quita had to do chemotherapy because she was in stage three, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the only way that she was going to be able to get rid of it. But what happens is after you go through recovery and they want you to see your specialist, they let you know that there's a chance it could come back,
mm-hmm.
but in any form. So it can come back as ovarian cancer. It can come back as cervical cancer. It can come back as breast cancer. It can come back as brain cancer. It can come back as any form of cancer. As long as the cancer cell has been ignited,
right,
it can come back.
Because it's trying to find a way out.
Exactly. Yep, exactly. So what it does is it alarms you and make you feel like in panic mode.
Yeah.
Right? For me, I think the first month, that was my thought process. Like, I'm only 30. I don't want it to come back.
Yeah.
What can I do to stop it from coming back? And that's what made me stay on my health journey. Now, I'm guilty. I don't eat clean all the time.
Right.
Right? But that reminder reminds me why I need to.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, what we put in our body, it matters. So at 38 years old, I took the genealogy test.
Yeah.
My paternal grandmother had cancer. My paternal uncle had cancer. My paternal aunt had cancer. My maternal aunt had cancer. My mm-hmm. paternal sister had cancer. However, that gene, it came back undetermined.
Right.
When I took that test, which is weird because if it's on both sides, why wouldn't it come back? And that's a whole different conversation as far as experimental and the results that they give you, because they really can give you whatever you know, answer they want to give you. But when that answer came back, it had me doing a little bit more research as to is it actually genetics, or does it pertain to what we're putting in our bodies?
Yeah.
And again, as 38, my thought process is, when my mom is 68, when she was growing up, there was no junk food.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Junk food was them going in the backyard to pick up rhubarb from the garden and, you know, eating that, or apples or whatever the case may be.
At the very most, it was Big Chew.
Exactly.
Right.
In the early 90s, we started to see cupcakes. We started to see Hot Flamin's. We started to see Wildwood sodas. All of these things in the corner stores. And then I look and see the duration. How long have we been eating this? Over 30 years. So when you're constantly putting these things in your body for over 30 years, these are the very things that are going to cause cancer, right? So I think the biggest myth is that it's genetic. It's not genetic. It's based off of what they're giving us to put inside of our bodies.
Ooh. Did you feel like when you were diagnosed with cancer, did you feel like, one, why me? Like, was the question why me? And the other question, was it like, where did this come from? Like, I'm running around healthy. You know, I got a career, kids, whatever it is. Like, I feel good, kind of. And
my thought process was, why not me? And it has to be that, because I'm one of God's soldiers. I know that things that I have been faced with since I was a little girl, and there's a lot of people with similar stories. But I know my journey, and I know that I'm on His strongest soldiers list, whether I want to be or not. So the question was more so for myself, why not me? Like, okay, this happened to you. Cancer didn't happen. Transformation did. Meaning that this was something. So basically, you know, we have the choice to be, and I'm not religious, but I love this quote from the Bible. We have the choice to be lukewarm or not. And I had straddled the fence for so long because I knew that I had a calling, but I still was dabbling into a lifestyle that I shouldn't have been. So that for me was more so, are you going to be hot or cold? You could be either or, but you got to choose one. And I chose a side, which was God's side. So I had to take that, eat that. Like, during my whole cancer, I didn't cry. When I was diagnosed, my recovery, I didn't cry until a year after I went through my recovery because I understood the transformation that was happening and the new person that I was becoming. It did trigger me because right before I was diagnosed, I had just started back working out. This was a year after my youngest daughter was born. So I finally got the motivation to get up and work out and exercise. And then, boom, I get hit with this, which is part of subconsciously a trigger.
So you had a year old. Your daughter was a year old plus, and
my youngest daughter.
And then you were hit with cancer.
And it was a trigger.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, that's why that's why it's a trigger now as far as working out, because I was working out faithfully before I was diagnosed. Because I had this mind frame, I need to get become healthy. I had gained a lot of weight after I had my youngest daughter, and recently I beat it, but up until recently I wouldn't work out for that reason. I didn't understand subconsciously that it was a trigger. But I never liked to be the victim in any circumstances, except for circumstances that I like, that's extreme.
You like to control your environment.
But with this in particular, it was like, it took out my aunt, and it took out too many of my family members for me to sit back and allow it to beat me. You know, I refuse to be a victim to cancer, right? I refuse to be a victim to being a guinea pig for certain hospitals and things of that nature, because, again, that's another conversation. But there's a lot of experimental work that goes inside of utilizing Black women specifically when it comes to cancer or anything, because they feel like we are the strongest human beings on this earth and we can handle pain.
You know, I know this because I see my mom. I see how strong she is. I see my grandparents, my grandmothers go through things. And this world, as we know it today in relationship to the human population, would not have been itself without the without the black woman. The black woman, the Eve of our DNA now, our DNA and our RNA now, was she saved the population that our Earth's population that we as we see it today. She saved it. One person in Africa saved the entire population. That's a strong person. That's a strong woman.
Yes.
Yes. Hey, y'all, when we come back, we're going to continue on with this conversation. Man, this is crazy. I want to talk about human guinea pigs and, you know, what Jazz thinks about human guinea pigs, the black women like Henrietta Lacks and Tuskegee and some of those folks that we kind of peruse through and not remember. Let's remember those folks. Yes, when we come back in three. Zaga Zow, Zigga Zow, Zaga Zow, anyhow, Batman now, Zaga Zow, Zigga Zow, Zaga Zow. Yo, we are back. The last couple of minutes with Tap In with Jazz. Jazz Tyler, you are back. Come on, man, we on the grapevine. We picking grapes, tapping in. We doing it all right now. You got a unique journey. We were just talking about your cancer journey.
Yeah.
But before we got through that, before we got out of that conversation, we were talking about the black woman and how important the black woman is, how strong the black woman is.
Yep.
Then we talked about the amount of black people, and specifically black women, who have been guinea pigs.
Correct.
And I know, you know, we can go down the list. Henrietta Lacks, you know, the nine. What's your feeling behind that? Like, what's your feeling behind black women being guinea pigs, let alone black people in general?
But yeah. We've always been guinea pigs. History has shown us that. But I personally know that I was a part of some research study as it pertains to being a guinea pig without even knowing I was. So from my personal experience, again, this is my personal experience. It does not reflect every other black woman's story.
Right.
But mine specifically as it pertains to the healthcare system in Milwaukee. I was 19 years old when I had my first child and 20 when I had my second.
Yeah.
When you're a young mother who is trying to survive, I've always had my own house, job, car, but it still was hard, especially raising two children at once.
Yeah.
They prey on you. So they'll approach you and say, hey, we're doing a research study about your experience. We just want to have some conversations with you, and we're offering a stipend. And when your money is low, you're like, oh, yeah, I'll take the stipend, right? These are conversations that our parents don't know to have with us because they didn't experience it, or they dressed it up in a way that they didn't know. They was unaware. So when it was brought to me, I did it. And then I ended up being compensated for it. But when I went back.
For the study.
Correct. So the study was more so like, what was your experience? This is how they approached it. What was your experience, you know, with this hospital? How did this make you feel? Almost like survey questions. This was the initial agreement.
Yeah.
But when the person came to interview me, those were not the questions she had asked. However, I had already signed the agreement to do it. And again, I could have denied it right then and there.
Yeah.
But I did not know. I was unaware. So there's something about black women having strength, but young black women being scared to call stuff out when they don't, especially when they come from an environment where they don't feel protected. So I didn't call it out, right? I just went along with it. And when she did it, she started to ask questions that had nothing to do with what they initially sent me.
Yeah.
And I thought about it, but it was just a thought. My mind was focused on surviving. And right now, my baby need Pampers and pull-ups.
Right.
And this money that they're giving me is going to help.
Yep.
But the more I became older, when I got older and matured, I went back. And when I was diagnosed with cancer, I went back and looked at my chart and just went down the line. 2016, I was pregnant. They diagnosed me with fibromyalgia. 2018, I'm diagnosed with cancer. 2020, I'm diagnosed with lupus. Now I'm like, why am I being diagnosed with all of these things? It wasn't making sense because prior to my pregnancy, I wasn't. So then it had me thinking like, dang, did the pregnancy trigger something? No, I look at my daughter. She's an angel.
Right.
Right. So I know it had nothing to do with her. So now I'm questioning myself on why did they initially ask me if I wanted to be a part of the research
study. In the research study, did they inject you with anything?
No.
No injections?
No. But well, let me in that moment, no. But what they do is immunization shots. And I am somebody who my two oldest has only had one or two immunization shots. Right. By the time I was in my early 20s and I was aware, I never gave them those shots ever again. Mm-hmm. My 9-year-old has never had a shot.
Right.
Right. And the reason being is because I understand what's inside of it now. But when I was younger, I didn't. Mm-hmm. But to your point, in that moment, they did not. However, I wholeheartedly believe people from my generation has been experimented on for quite some time.
Yeah.
When it comes to these shots, when it comes to them telling us we need certain, you know, things. For example, my mom, she got the COVID shot.
Right.
Right after she got it during the pandemic, she ended up getting congestive heart failure.
Yeah. You know, I was talking to somebody about the COVID, friend of mine, and he said that he has a huge family. Mm-hmm. He was the only person in that huge, huge family. You know, black people got cousins and brothers and sisters for days. He was the only person that didn't get the COVID jab. And he was the only person not to get any type of COVID illness at all.
Yeah.
He wasn't even worried. He never put a mask on.
Yeah. I didn't get it either. But that's because I'm aware. But to the research point, what they do is they have a system set in place.
Okay.
They say, hey, we're looking to target this specific demographic that live in this specific zip code in this city of this ethnicity. And we want to do a research on a certain amount of people, right? Well, why? When research is done, it's specifically because something is happening or has happened, rather. Mm-hmm. But we don't know what has happened because we're so caught up in reality TV.
Yeah.
We're caught up in whatever we're caught up in, distractions, that we don't understand terminology.
Right.
Research means something has already happened. Mm. And you're a part of it specifically if they want to research you.
Right.
Right. So my questions should have been, why do you want to research me?
Yeah.
Why are you asking me to be a part of this? Because it's not like you just go to a random person and say, hey, we're doing this research on da da da. No, you came with data behind scenes.
Yeah.
You have information that is not privy to the public.
Yeah.
And you're utilizing this as a way and making it broad in general by saying we're just doing a study. No, you're targeting specific people for a specific reason.
Yeah.
Right. And I have been through so much except for my oldest daughter, Kennedy, but my pregnancy with my son and my pregnancy with my youngest daughter, I have been through so much. Those were the worst pregnancies I've had out of all three, health-wise.
Yeah.
So there was things that I had to go to the doctor more than others. I had hyperemesis, which is you can't keep anything down, not even water, right? Like your body is literally rejecting everything that you put inside of it.
All liquids.
All liquids, all food, anything is rejected.
What is it called?
Hyperemesis.
Hyperemesis.
So for the first 5 months, I couldn't eat. I couldn't drink. Only thing I could do was like
And that's why you had crackers. This cancer.
No. This is prior to.
This is prior.
So when I was thinking back, I'm like, why did they ask me if I wanted to be a part of the research? And I was frustrated with myself because I'm smarter than that.
Yeah.
Right?
Let me ask you a question. Since we're talking about the baby powder. Did you use baby powder on your kids or did your mom use baby powder on you?
So I never asked her if she used baby powder on me, but I was born in the '80s.
Yeah.
So a lot of like my family in particular, we have traditions from the South.
Yeah.
So I highly doubt it.
Yeah.
Me, I did, but I didn't. I used it like to avoid diaper rashes or cornstarch or something like that. I started using more natural ingredients, initially I did use baby powder. And it was something that was not taught, but it's just like, it's a combination. You buy the blue baby magic and you buy the baby powder. And it's, you know, it's more so for the smell and obviously to keep sweat to avoid rashes and stuff.
Yeah.
But you want your baby to smell like a baby. So naturally as a 19-year-old mother, all I wanted was for my children to be clean, my son to be clean, and to smell like a baby.
And that's why so earlier I was talking about how, man, we ran out of time. Earlier I was talking about how, you know, these companies package everything, they package everything up, and then all of a sudden, you know, inside of that package is nothing but devastation.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like soda.
Absolutely.
Like, in reality, you know, carbonation isn't bad.
Yeah.
But what you put inside the carbonation
is what
inside
makes it
of
bad.
This aluminum can yeah. is what makes it bad.
Yep.
Plastic, you know, you wrap the plastic around water, and then what happens?
Absolutely.
You ingest microplastics.
Yep.
Toothbrushes.
Yep.
Toothbrushes is the same exact thing.
Yep.
So like, we're in a state of, if it looks good, it's good for you.
Yeah.
And we've been tricked.
Yeah.
We've been tricked.
We have to unlearn and relearn.
Bamboozled, hoodwinked.
Yeah. We got to unlearn and relearn.
Yes.
Yep.
Can we have you back?
Absolutely.
All right. We got to talk more about this because I think this is a really fantastic way. Thank you, Tap In With Jazz. Tap In With Jazz is next anyway. Jazz Tyler is next. Hey, y'all. I'm glad you guys came out. You're on the grapevine. We're going to come back with this topic again. I love y'all. If I didn't say it once, I'm going to say it again. I love you. If I don't say it anymore at all, just remember that I do really, really love you. You're on the grapevine. I'm your host, Manon Sabir, and Tap In With Jazz is next.